This is Louisa Clarence Smith from EG, and I'm with Gary Neville in Manchester as he reveals the latest designs from Hodder & Partners for the St Michael's project, which is a £200 million mixed-use scheme featuring a five-star hotel, offices, residential and leisure space in the city centre. The new lozenge shape is quite a significant change from the original two more solid black towers envisaged by Make architects. Gary, can you talk us through what's new and why the change?
Obviously, going back to the very beginning, the original scheme wasn't received as we would have liked, and we pulled back around March this year and paused. And since then, I've just sort of been moving step by step through the process of a new approach, with preservation obviously first in mind, to keep the Sir Alf Abercrombie pub and the police station, front section of the police station, which is obviously the most prominent part. And this was in consultation with Historic England. And then starting to think about the accommodation that we had originally and how it could sit on the site. So we had obviously a shorter building at the front of the site for the office, which left us still with wanting to create a standout building at the rear of the site, further away from Albert Square, that had the hotel and the residential components in. And I think the key thing for me, obviously Stephen and the architect has designed the shape of the building. It didn't come from me. But my principles were that ultimately there shouldn't be a compromise unit, that every view from every window of every hotel bedroom or residential unit should have fantastic views. And secondly, that, you know, how do you deal with the core if it's on the edge of the building, in respect of making sure that it doesn't turn its back, it's in such a central location, making sure that ultimately that every side of the actual building is a face rather than, if you like, the back. And I think that's ultimately something that we were concerned about from last time. And probably one of the things we got wrong is that we turned our back a little bit on Albert Square, with now a central core, meaning that ultimately you've almost got like a racetrack arrangement around the central core of apartments and hotel bedrooms. It means that ultimately everybody that sort of goes into those spaces has that fantastic view from whichever side, that if you're looking externally up at the building, that you don't get what would be a very blank or solid core arrangement on the face. So I think the principles were sort of discussed between ourselves and Stephen. Stephen then came back with the lozenge shape, and ultimately I think, you know, we're very satisfied with it.
How did that relationship between you and the architect change from before we make? Did you have to kind of change the way you did things?
No, my relationship hasn't changed in terms of how I deal with, I'm quite intense by nature in terms of, quite demanding, want to always improve. Even now, even the scheme today, I'm always looking at thinking how that scheme can improve, it can evolve, let it breathe a little bit for a few months. We'll pick up comments from the media, from obviously even people at the consultation tomorrow, that will make genuine comments. And we've always responded, even on the original scheme, we did respond to comments where we felt as though ultimately they were correct and enhance the scheme. So from our point of view, we don't sit here as sort of people who think, oh, so we know everything, that this is perfect. We sit here with a view that ultimately we think we've created something that's fantastic, but we can still improve. And the relationship is one that ultimately Stephen's quite clearly designer, as Make were before, and I demand from them what I believe to be fantastic design and fantastic buildings, and that's what we'll end up with.
Is it fair to say, so your approach has changed quite a lot? So at first it was kind of like two big statement towers in the centre, that's what I want, and now it's kind of, this tower seems to be very much more thoughtful towards it, surrounding it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a bit, I mean, the first scheme, obviously the twin towers that we had before, part of the principle of that was not just getting into the accommodation, but also leaving a large percentage of the site for public space. What this scheme does is ultimately fills more of the site from a sort of footprint point of view. For the space for the sort of outdoor usage will go onto the roof, a lot of it, even though we do have quite a large square in front of the Abercrombie pub. But I agree with you, from a sort of point of view of looking back and stepping back from a city view, looking in at the sort of development, it's far calmer, far more transparent, far lighter, far less impactful in terms of sort of impact on sort of the area. It's not as dominant, should I say. I think dominant's the right word. I think that's right, that ultimately we want a building to be outstanding, but we want it to sort of sit within its surroundings. And, you know, that's one of the other principles that we sort of had to get over from last time, from the first consultation, that, you know, we needed something that was less dominant. And this building is less dominant, but still, I think, you know, achieves the sort of ambition of what we want, which is an outstanding building.
And what have you learned throughout this process? Obviously, it's, you know, a really ambitious development to start with. And you say you were surprised by the reaction to it, very emotional.
Yeah.
Looking back, what have you learned from that process?
A little bit like a really difficult football match. You have to be agile. You have to find a way to win. Winning for us is building the scheme and finishing it. And you somehow, plan A doesn't work. You have to sort of, you don't give in a football match. You come back with a plan B. You try and think of a different way. And what we've now got is, if you like, a different scheme, a different approach, a different plan. But I still feel in the end, ultimately, that we'll get where we want to be. And that is victory for us is ultimately where the majority of the people, you're never going to please everybody, but the majority of the people are on board, that are happy in the city. And ultimately, we've got a scheme that enhances the city, enhances those streets which are suffering at the moment. And we get there in the end. So, yeah, you've got to be agile. You've got to make sure that you adapt, and we've been adaptable. I'm very stubborn and fixed on what I like. But on the other hand, sometimes you have to step back and think it's not working and go a different way. And we had to go a different way.
Is it fair to say that's more challenging than you thought it would be?
Oh, yeah, it has to. Yeah, this is definitely more challenging than I thought it would be. We never expected what happened first time round. In terms of the weight of emotion, of feeling, of objection, it was, unprecedented. It made national news. If someone asked me, I take an interest course of doing what people are doing in Manchester in terms of developments, but I don't look into the detail of plans of other people's developments. I generally allow them to sort of, development's hard. People talk about, people sort of associate the word greed with development, but development comes with risk. And I generally think that it takes, a level of risk to actually put a development forward. So from my point of view, this has been a lot more difficult, not in the sense of difficult as in, it's hard work. I just think that the process that we've been through, the time it's taken, the challenge that we've received, has been unprecedented in this city, and ultimately everybody has a comment on St Michael's. Everybody in this city that I don't go to a lot of events or a lot of property events, but when I do, people tend to have an opinion on it. Whereas the last thing I ever do is comment on other people's schemes publicly, but everyone has a comment on this scheme. So we have to sort of take that in, accept it as a positive, and recognise that it is a scheme of importance. It's got huge responsibility attached to it. Obviously, because we're involved as well, myself and Ryan, it brings that sort of added ingredient, I suppose, in some ways, that people can leverage off it and latch onto it. But these are not excuses. We accept that we got it wrong first time round, that maybe we didn't engage quickly enough, we didn't sort of, ultimately, bring the sort of scheme forward into public domain quickly enough. We've sort of held it back, later towards the sort of end of the design, whereas this time we've taken a completely different approach, and hopefully, we know it has been more successful so far. Hopefully that'll continue.
Fair to say, one of your biggest challenges could be you, as from your footballing background, you've got a very international outlook, and a lot of people, once Manchester already is an international city, it's got a world-famous name. A lot of that's to do with Manchester United anyway. Mm. At the same time, there's such a strong local Mancunian spirit, and just talking to some of the local media now, we're talking about, are you going to go down the route of just selling to local people? It's quite interesting.
It would be absolutely wrong to suggest that you could sit here and say, I'm just going to sell this to local people. I played football with Peter Schmeichel, with Eric Cantona, with Cristiano Ronaldo, but also with David Beckham, with Paul Scholes, with Ryan Giggs, and loved them all equally and enjoyed the experience and learned equally from all of them. Some international, some foreign, some British, some local. Why can't we just talk about it being a scheme that ultimately enhances the city, that incorporates what the city's ambition is, which is to actually have a Mancunian spirit, but actually also be an international city? I think ultimately my view is that when people sort of suggest that they go out there, we're only going to sell to local people, it is completely wrong, that approach. That is not the voice of an international city. We are an international city that should ultimately welcome international workforce, international people. We're a city that also should look after its own and look after local people. Don't talk about one or the other, talk about both equally. I genuinely believe in that. And the fact of the matter is, I think it's quite dangerous to start, particularly in these times, all the sort of noise that is around at the moment, to start talking about, imagine if I went out and I'm only going to sell to local people. Or, on the other hand, said, I'm only going to sell to international people. It's just completely the wrong approach. It's a fad. It's something that ultimately is actually unenforceable, because the reality of it is those people who've paid deposits who in 2 or 3 years might have had intention to live there or might have even spun you a yarn, still could sell it on to an international investor, international resident, could also sell it on to a local resident. You can't remove people's rights to sell a property. So my view on it is ultimately that we all would want there to be a thriving city with fantastic food and beverage scene, fantastic events, fantastic sport, fantastic public spaces, wonderful spirit, great buildings, and also local and international, local and global people, you know, scattered everywhere. And I mean, thousands of them. We want this city to be sort of the top, in the top 25, top 20 in the world in 25 years or 20 years or whenever it is. That's the ambition that, you know, that the city places upon. You know, to do that, we have to create truly international schemes that ultimately, you know, bring the best out of everyone.
And you've got international backers, of course. I imagine they and some agents might advise you to go and sell a lot of the units off plan overseas in Asia, where there'll be loads of keen buyers. Mm. Obviously, there's a really strong demand from that region at the moment, but also with the Manchester United name, yeah, you're so famous over there, you imagine they'd be keen to sell at premium.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I said before, ultimately, I would like to think that the strategy of sales around St. Michael will be one that ultimately encapsulates an element of ensuring that we deliver to local people and to international people. You know, the idea that I can listen to people talk about, you know, if somebody in Asia or in Africa or in Australia or in Europe wants to put their money into our city, I find that difficult to understand. They could put that money anywhere. If they decide to put it into our city, believe in our city, invest in our city, let's not necessarily always think of that as a negative. You know, Pep Guardiola comes here to sort of be the manager of Manchester City and he buys an apartment, which he has done. Or Jose Mourinho comes and stays in one of our hotels. This is fantastic for our city. We benefit from it hugely. So the idea that you sort of suggest that ultimately when people place their money into the city of Manchester, that they're abusing the city of Manchester, yeah, that maybe does happen in particular occasions. But also don't remove the actual idea that actually they could have chosen anywhere to put their money. Actually, maybe that development is creating jobs for our city. It's creating, you know, employment jobs, F&B outlets, leisure space, new buildings, construction. You know, there's lots of things to sort of bring in when you talk about. You can't just generalise and say, oh, let's go and sell overseas in Asia. That, yeah, maybe has happened and maybe ultimately it does deserve some sort of what would be negative press. But generally, I think we need to be careful. I think we need to be really careful. I feel very uncomfortable sort of talking around the either or scenario. Both can work just fine. And I've seen it in football and I've seen it in my hotels where we have a wonderful, wonderful set of staff. Some of them are international, some of them are local and equally fantastic. And I really can't differentiate between the two.
Have you found the council, you know, leadership to be quite supportive? Obviously, there's been a change from Sir Howard Bernstein, yeah, to Joanne Roney. Have you found them to still be really open to that sort of international investment and also to sort of tall buildings, yeah, for some reason?
Absolutely. I think Manchester is celebrated in this country for its relationship between private and public sector. You know, some people cite it potentially as a negative. It's a fantastic. You know, you think about how this city's rebuilt itself over the last 25 years. It's come from an entrepreneurial city council, from a private sector that ultimately believe in the city. Yes, with Mancunian spirit at the heart of it, but ultimately always opening its doors to the international investment or international workforce. I've seen that more than ever in this last 5, 6, 7 years. You know, I'd never speak too highly of Manchester City, but you'd have to say that what's happened at Manchester City in terms of the investment into that part of the city, in terms of the sort of the facilities that have been built there, So the stadium was built for the Commonwealth Games, but the training facilities and the infrastructure around there are absolutely fantastic. And this city is now spreading like London. You know, I hear stories of people saying that Notting Hill wasn't what it was 40, 50 years ago, and it's all, the city's sort of grown and, you know, grown arms and legs outwards from the sort of central core. I can see that now in Manchester. I can see that when you come off the motorway, the M60 at sort of Chester Road, and you come through Stretford, I can see the city, I can see that Stretford will merge into Old Trafford, into Castlefield over a period of time. I can see that through Salford it's happening into Manchester. I can see it other, you know, from sort of the the sort of city end, as I would call it, the Manchester City end of that side. Eastlands area, you know, again, merging back in towards the city. Our city is getting greater, better, bigger, more people are living here, and ultimately there are a lot of positive things happening, and like I say, I think that's something that should be celebrated.